Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom at voicesofmontana.com.
I don't know if you can pack more fun into an hour or a day, but we'll probably try. We're at it again. It's our third annual For the Farmers Tour. And yes, it's a day we're going to celebrate our harvest. We're going to celebrate the hard work. But we're gonna learn an awful lot today, too. There's a lot of people that keep our community strong. And I want to talk to them and with them for you today. So the people who keep our tables full also keep our rural communities real strong. So new innovations in fertilizer, crop nutrition. Talk about the challenges of hailstorms and things we're beginning to understand now about mental health. Yes, stay with us. Spotlighting, it's our For the Farmers Tour, live today from Voices of Montana. They're clapping again. Thank you, guys. That's really nice. It's fun to be here. We are live at the Town and Country Supply Association Fertilizer Plant. It's a huge building here. I missed the tour, you guys, and so you're going to have to do it again here in a little bit. Hey, thank you guys for being here. It's two decades strong and working on three. As Courtney Kibble White told our audience here, there's a lot of things that we'll be talking about today. Hailstorms, we'll be talking with producers who suffered some serious damage there, and you know, not only what that does to your pocketbook, but what it does to your mental health too. So that's on the plate. Family Farms, the Stoltzes from nearby Pompey Pillar will be joining us here, and they've got a family operation going, and it's more than just farming as well. Greg Gable, as Courtney mentioned, mental health advocate. Mark Vogel is going to be with us here too, and Hannah Tagliaferro from Watkins Distributing. We're going to start this show. We're live at the Town and Country Supply Association huge fertilizer plant. Introduce Jennifer Reinhart. Ryan is the marketing and purchasing manager. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
It's a lot of activity here today,
it
right?
Is.
Yeah.
Good.
Are you enjoying it?
Yes.
You got a big smile on. I think that's good.
Yeah. Yeah, we're glad to have everybody.
Josh, how are you?
Good.
Josh Starr is with us, Energy Division Manager.
Yes, sir.
Well, you put this thing together, did you?
Yeah, this was one of my other projects outside of energy.
One of my other projects, yeah. Another hat that you wear. And also Michael Hugo is with us, Agronomy Location Manager at Lockwood. Good morning.
Great to be with you, Tom.
Thank you. Thank you guys for being here. I want to make sure I got you guys up all the way too and not too loud so we're getting feedback. Let's start with you, Jennifer. Town and Country Association. I think it's something our audience is probably not aware of, all the things that you guys do for farmers. Start with that.
Yeah, we're a large-scale co-op with a lot of different divisions. We have the energy division, the retail division, the agronomy division. All important parts, different pieces, but all a very big, important parts, Town and Country as a whole.
Talk about the people you got beside you here.
Michael Hugo, he is our location manager of the Lockwood plant, but he does a lot more than that. We all wear a lot of different hats in the company.
Keep going.
Josh Starr with the energy division, and like he said, he wears a lot of different hats too, also, such as building the plants.
And Josh, thank you. I had a little static there.
Yeah.
Why don't you talk about what you guys do here as well, this energy division, and then we'll get into this plant.
Yeah, so I didn't notice when you were coming in, we've got quite a bit of propane and refined fuel storage out here. Just kind of helps us, we'll say this last January, February, when we had that real cold snap there, if you don't have the product on hand, we can't take care of our customers and we can't make deliveries. So the more storage that we have available to us, the more effective we can take care of our customers.
Jennifer was saying that you did an awful lot of research for this building here. Talk about why it fits Montana and what you guys do at Town and Country Supply.
Well, you know, we chose this area here in Lockwood. You know, we're technically, our headquarters are over in Laurel. We decided to build over here in Lockwood for a couple of reasons. At the time, it was partly because we were partnered or working with Montana Rail Link at the time, which has now transitioned to the BN. Also, you know where we're at. We're right here at the junction of I-90 and I-94. We also knew that the new bridge was going in here, and, you know, we were a little bit ahead of the curve, and honestly, they built the bridge a little bit ahead of the curve too. But so we're real excited that we had the opportunity to build at this location, because it gives us the opportunity to go in multiple directions, be the most effective supplier in the marketplace based on partly this location. One of the things that you don't really notice what's back here as much until you're out here. And so we're kind of the dead end of the road, you know, which isn't necessarily a bad thing.
Right.
But yeah. It's allowed us to really be effective in the marketplace with every direction that we can go from the fertilizer standpoint. From an energy standpoint, it just allows us to, you know, have parking and bulk tanks and just a facility that we can offload rail cars for energy products and as well as the fertilizer products.
So. Michael Hugo, talk about your job and all of that, all the logistics that he just went through.
Yeah, so kind of like Josh has said, I mean, we kind of do this for the farmers. So my role as the location manager for this facility is just kind of, you know, facilitate a smooth movement of stuff going on at this location. So. You know, that's kind of my role, making sure we serve our patrons so they can keep doing what they do the best, and that is farming.
What was the challenges there?
Challenges, I mean, that we kind of have, you know, really, we're blessed with a pretty good executive team at Town & Country. I think, you know, our CEO, Wes Burley, is an extremely forward-thinking individual. So just the scope of, you know, and Josh's involvement in building this facility and getting us up on this location, you know, kind of eliminates the challenges we had of just trying to compete and staying competitive in Montana agriculture and as a business. So this just kind of gives us that cutting edge.
Jennifer, talk about, again, all those other aspects of your organization, because as you are supplying farmers, you're supplying them in many different ways, but you're also, this is a location that reminds us how deep you guys are into the farm and ranch community.
Yeah, we are co-op roots. We are the old school co-op. We try to service the ag customer, the farm customer, as best we can in all avenues. We have our outside feed division, which is another division that we try to take care of on the rancher side, as well as the agronomy side, and even the city folks with our convenience stores and stuff like that. We try to take care of all of it.
I appreciate that, the city folk, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
But there's a lot of us here, right, that
sure.
Try to understand agriculture from top to the bottom of it. How does Town & Country Supply Association then support those farmers when they're coming in, or they're having a bad day, or they need fertilizer that they need it real quick? How do you guys, you know, hustle that up for the farmers?
I think one of the things we pride ourselves on is our service.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter which division we're talking about. That's always been a very key thing to us, is servicing our patrons and trying to take care of them. And with it being a co-op, it is a patron-owned co-op. And so
yeah.
By them helping us, we're helping them. They do, you know, if they're a patron of us, they do get patronage for supplies that they buy from us. And so it's kind of a win-win for everybody.
Jennifer Reinhart, again, pardon me, marketing and purchasing manager here, and steers a lot of the activity. Let's talk with Josh Starr again. Josh, What is new in fertilizer? What are farmers and ranchers looking at to get more and more out of their fields?
Ooh, you know, that's a little bit outside my scope. You might want to have one of our agronomists talk on that. You know, to that point, though, kind of what Jen was talking about, part of the reason for this facility, when we envisioned building it, you know, well over a decade ago, and then we've been able to execute on that, is we really wanted a season's needs in the marketplace at the time that it is needed. And as every farmer and ag person knows, you know, planting in our market here can go anywhere from February to June. So it's pretty hard logistically if you don't have the product in your market to be able to run that span from a transportation and distribution standpoint. So to the point of a service, you know, we always strive to get the product out on demand or when the customer needs it the most. But if you don't have the product on hand, you can't deliver it. So that's part of the reason why we built such a massive facility, is so we can help facilitate all the needs of our marketplace while we're in season. You know, we do have quite a bit of technology that we've added to this facility over time. Different things like adding liquid chemicals to our fertilizer and our blending tower. We also have products such as like Wolf Tracks, which is a dry flowable product that we add to the add to the fertilizer blends for micronutrient levels. Every farmer out here is using a lot more than NPK anymore. They're adding a lot of other micronutrients to their product, and this is a way that we can help them meet their demands for fertilizer, because really we're a lot further past just corn, wheat, and soybeans on our market, or white corn and sugar beets, I'm sorry. There are a few soybeans.
It sounds like you've been listening to your agronomists quite a bit there.
Nice. Well, they talk a lot.
Oh, I get you. Yeah. Michael Hugo, again, talk about the pride that you have in serving farmers. I mean, there's a lot of jobs out there, and people sometimes will struggle to go to work, right? But when you're in an industry like this, how much do you value helping the farmers feed the world?
Oh, extremely. I think I don't think you can put a value on it. Mm-hmm. I think it's the most valuable thing we have in this country as a farmer. And me, born and raised in South Africa, moving to the United States, you know, my wife really didn't envision us living in the state of Montana with the winters we have. But it's just, I keep telling it, it's just the resilience of the Montana farmer. That's the first thing I kind of fell in love with growing up in ag. In South Africa, I mean, seeing snow on wheat was something strange for me, and it's just, you know, trying to just get my head around, wrapped around on it. You know, these guys deal with extreme weather, cutthroat harvests, you know, with hail storms and crazy elements, you know, so it's just the most appealing thing for me, and making sure that, you know, in the short little season, in the short window we have in this state, you know, keeping that farmer going, that's my ultimate goal, and I think it's our ultimate goal here at Town & Country is unmatched efficiency, you know, keeping the patrons and the growers going so they can feed the state, feed the country. That's our motto down here. We stop when you stop.
Really good answer. Good job. Jennifer, how is everybody? How is Town & Country? How are the farmers this year? What's, you know, as you talk and you're having conversations with friends and colleagues, how are things going?
You know, I think it's good. As Town & Country, as a company, it's a great, strong company. Looking forward to tomorrow every day. And I think the farmers, from what I've heard, they've had a good year, and we're just proud to be part of it.
Do you take some comfort in the harvest and the year winding down a little bit too?
Absolutely. And there's always something coming. We're ready for the next challenge of the next season.
Jennifer Reinhart again, Josh Starr, and Michael Hugo. Thank you guys for hosting us here too.
Of course.
Yeah, we love it. We appreciate that. Yeah. We got more here. We're live from the Town & Country Supply Association huge fertilizer plant. The address is Billings, but this is Lockwood, right?
This is Lockwood.
Heck yeah.
Lockwood proud.
Yeah, there you go. And we got more to come. Thank you guys for being here and hosting us. I'm going to toss it over to Colton Young, Northern Ag Network broadcaster, because Bruce Keck and Abe Isaac are over there from Agro Liquid.
We're going to talk Agro Liquid, Tom. Yep, thanks for sending that over. So I'm here with Bruce Keck, the regional sales manager for Agro Liquid, Abe Isaac, the agronomist. And let's just start. We're here at Town & Country. We just heard the folks at Town & Country talk about how they provide a fertilizer to the Yellowstone, Stillwater County down here. What does your partnership with Town & Country suppliers look like from Agro Liquid?
We want to find a company that would match our values to prosper the farmer. And as we talked about who we would deal with, Town & Country came to mind. We thought, you know what, their values align very much with ours, with making sure that the farmer is the first and foremost above. I mean, they got their other divisions, but agronomy is an important part of what we do with them.
Yep. In your region, you cover Montana, Wyoming, and parts of Idaho, too, if I'm correct. And so you work with a lot of different companies. How special is your partnership with Town & Country? Just working with several different people, I'm sure you see a lot of differences in those relationships.
There is a lot of differences. We see their values match ours, and we see their customers have different crop needs and different crop and fertilizer needs than other places in the states that I cover. So it's a good relationship. I'm excited about keeping the momentum going with them.
Yeah, absolutely, and what a great facility to have here and to see the growth in a partnership. It has to be rewarding for you guys to know that there's a big future ahead for you. So, Abe, let's kick it over to you. Abe Isaac, the agronomist. It's been quite a year. I mean, you look at the drought monitor and you see northern Montana, they're not getting any rain down here late in the summer. We got all of it. So you're out there in the fields with producers. What are you seeing and what are you hearing from those producers this summer?
You're seeing all those variable conditions out there, from those late snows to the hail and all those things going on. And then you compound that with low commodity prices on corn and some of those things. So where AgriLiquid is coming in with the growers and working with Town and Country is how do we help them make their fertilizer dollars go as far as they can, making the right decisions, because we are limited for inputs. Commodity prices are down, costs are up. How do we still come in there? We know that the growers of Montana are going to get through this. This is not the first time they've been through things like this, and they're working hard. So we're working hard with them and with Town and Country to really put together programs and packages that will benefit them and prosper that farmer. And because if the farmer wins, everybody wins.
Yep, absolutely. And I think that brings up a really good point. You're out there in the field. What does a day-to-day operation for you look like where you have this whole area talking with a lot of producers? And I'm sure it's just a lot of strategy and kind of a game plan for what comes to head. And you talked about low commodity prices, high input costs. It's tough conversations, and the farmers are turning to you for answers. So what is your day-to-day operation and some challenges that you run into?
Well, you always got to find out what is their goal. What are they? What's the end game that they need to be? And obviously, that's profitability. But it's starting at the beginning, early in the year, and then at the season ends too. Looking at soil tests and saying, okay, where do we start with? Where are we ending with? How do we prepare for next year? This year's done. Everybody's got their what they're going to do has been done. So you're on the farm with them and saying, okay, can we make adjustments? Can we save a buck here or there based on maybe a potential yield? If you have a weather event come along and your yields going to be knocked down because of that, well, make that adjustment. You don't need to feed that crop quite as much as you did. You can cut back on some of those costs and being ready to pivot and do what you need to do.
Yeah, that's a very good point, and that relationship with the farmer is kind of what started this all. And you look at AgriLiquid, who's been engineering liquid fertilizer products for over 40 years, and Bruce, that's where you come in with those relationships with the producers, with Town and Country, and here we're on our tour for the farmers. This is all about thanking the farmer, thanking the producer. What does it mean for you and the role that you're in with AgriLiquid to be out here on an event like today?
I'm excited about it. I think it gives us another touch point with the growers to get a pulse on where they're at this year, where they're going to go next year, and how we can help them and help Town and Country do the same thing. This is an exciting event. We appreciate the invitation to be here.
Yeah. And Abe, back to you. Again, you're working with these producers every single day, so to be able to come out there with some good news today, we know we're not bringing any bad news today. We're bringing some treats and some swag, and we're saying thank you. What does this day mean for you?
Well, it's a good opportunity, once again, like Bruce said, to touch the grower and to share what we can provide for them, what Town and Country can provide for them. And I just want to say thank you to all the growers of Montana for what they're doing and their support and how they've helped us and helped Town and Country. And we look forward to another year and better times.
Well, we appreciate you guys being here again. Abe Isaac, Bruce Keck with AgriLiquid, and Tom, it's good to hear another agribusiness, another partnership with these producers that keep giving back every single day.
Yeah, and they got the right responses to why they're doing it. It's because they're a part of this community. They care about these people around here, too, and it's a needed service. Good job over there. Thank you guys, too, for answering those questions and being ready to serve people like Greg Gable. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you doing
today? Oh, I'm hanging in. I'm going to turn you up here a little bit so we can all hear you.
That'd be good.
Yeah, yeah. Greg Gable, one of those producers who everybody is here supporting, and you do your share of support for other farmers as well. We'll talk about that as a mental health advocate. You're also an Army veteran, and thank you for that service. You came back to farm.
Absolutely.
What was the call there?
As I grew up... You know, I grew up in the Huntley Project, and it's all about the community and always about helping the community. And that's one of the reasons why I left to join the Army, was I wanted to help more of my community. And after doing it 20 years in my family farm, basically my dad retired, and it was time for me to come back. So I was able to take over from him and my mom. And now me and my son are farming on the same land that my grandpa has farmed on for, you know, last 50, 60, 70 years.
Doesn't that mean something?
It absolutely does.
Yeah.
It's great to be part of a community that embraces agriculture, and that's the biggest thing that I think people need to understand about farming is it's a community-based thing. We can't do it without people like Town and Country, without, you know, all the people that help provide us with services so that we can provide a nation with food.
Talk about working with your son, too. We'll be spending a lot of time talking about family relationships through all this as well. When they get old, they'll start developing their own way of doing things as well. How are you leading in all of that?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I've got great mentorship not only from my dad, yeah, and my mom, but also from local neighbor farmers. Definitely, when I came back, there was all kinds of people wanting to help and teach. And you know, I knew how to farm, I knew how to make a shovel or drive a tractor, but the business aspect, all that stuff like that, is something I've had to really learn over the last, for 3 or 4 years. And with my son, it's, getting him out there and showing him that work can be fun, and teaching him, that hard work and that mental toughness really goes a long way.
What are you growing?
Sugar beets and malting barley, and some wheat.
You were up until about June, right?
Yeah, about June 16th. I had a pretty good malt barley crop, and June 16th, I didn't have anything. It was taken down right to the ground.
Big storm. I mean, and right down to the ground, right?
Oh, absolutely.
I think the beets you were saying had some ability to kind of recover a little bit, but the sugar content was going to be less.
Absolutely. So it basically took the leaves completely off the sugar beet. Sugar beet's a pretty resilient plant, and it's able to grow that back. But the time that it took to grow back the leaves, it didn't grow the beet itself, so that's why we'll lose yield and sugar content.
And we're going to talk with Alex Shimke here in a little bit from Stockman Bank about how you handle the finances about all of that. But right now, and I know you're a mental health advocate, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I can understand that too, having military experience and tradition. Mm-hmm. Talk about how, when that happened, what was your mindset? Were you ready for that? Do you guys prepare mentally for that?
I'd say that if you're in the farming industry, if you're not mentally prepared for some sort of Mother Nature event to really take apart what you've been doing, it's going to be very tough for you to do that. It's not when it's going to hail, it's if. I mean, it's not if it's going to hail, it's when.
Yeah, it's when, yeah.
And so this year, with that amount of hail, it's a good thing we do have local relationships with our bankers and definitely have that crop insurance to kind of help us make it through the next year.
Speaking of bankers, I just reeled one in here, as a matter of fact. Alex Shimke. Good morning, Alex. How you doing?
Good morning. Great.
And with Stockman Bank, I want to make sure I got your mic up here. I got a lot of mics. Greg's experience, right? Unfortunately, it is not unusual in this industry. What do you do? How do you say? How do you help effectively? But a lot of it has to do with how do you approach this from a relationship standpoint?
Yeah, and that's the key thing, and that's what Stockman Bank's really proud of, is the relationship we have with our customers. Being able to know what they're going to be going through. All of us in the ag department are deep entrenched in agriculture, and so we know the struggles that it is when you have an unfortunate event like a devastating hailstorm come through. And so, we're here to stand behind the customer. We're going to help them through whatever that marketing plan might be. That's a transition. Okay, I was growing grain, corn, and now we're going to turn it into silage. And be able to know that difference and be able to pivot on a dime is key for that relationship. Marketing notes to get them through instead of carrying over into short-term debt. Little tricks like that we know to help them through, strive through that. And just being able to be there for support. We're used to having tough conversations. Finances are a stressful thing, and be able to walk customers through stressful situations is beneficial.
Boy, that's kind of an understatement, isn't it, Greg?
Absolutely.
Yes, finances are a stressful thing. what was like the first thing you recognized that you needed to do after that event in June?
It was kind of a decision making process of, all right, so where are we at? What damage do we have to go out and fix immediately? And that's the great part about being in this community, is within 15 minutes of the hailstorm, we had people down helping, wanting to help clean up and everything, so it was great. And then after that, it's, going out and assessing where you're at, where the crops are at, and what your next steps needs to do. For the wheat, it was basically gone. So we're just getting the fields ready for next year. And then with the sugar beets, working with our partners on what kind of stuff we can help that beet grow, and that's where, you know, like I said, the community comes in and really kind of helps you with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and from a mental health aspect, and you've been advocating for mental health, and I want you to talk about that. Talk about why that's important to you, why it's important to all these farmers out here as well. Did you have a lot of thoughts on your mind, right? But if you can clear away, well, I've got a good banker, right? Mm-hmm. That helps you get flowing in the right direction.
Absolutely. If you have those relationships and that loyalty base, then it makes you able to move on past that stress and start really kind of figuring out what your next step is. And, you know, as a veteran in the Army, you know, 22 suicides a day,
gut punch.
And I've been around a lot of people that, you know, have PTSD and need that extra help. And that's, you know, farmers tend to be isolationists themselves. And, my parents' generation, it was, you know, you didn't even tell people you had cancer. You know, you just kind of walked away from it. And so that mentality, I mean, as we get newer people into the industry, we can't have that mentality, and people need to talk to each other. And that's why, for me, it's all about the community and being able to make sure that everyone in the community is aware of you know, what everyone's going through, and that, you know, you're not alone. And being able to talk about that is very tough for most people. And so being able to have someone that you could have a trust in, even if it is your banker that, you know, you want to have that hard conversation with, but still, if you can talk to them about that, it only helps.
Yeah, thank you for that. And Alex, when you hear that, you probably want to lean in on that and do whatever you can do. What are some of the things that you guys actually do in those circumstances? I mean, I know, as Greg had said, it's a huge cash flow industry, and this is where you guys come in and can really give some relief in this circumstance. How do you do it? What tools do you use?
You know, I think that the biggest thing that Greg already explained is, one, having the relationship, and two, just being there. You know, Stockman Bank's proud to be a community bank. We've got branches in these small communities, you know, one being Warden, where Greg banks out of, you know, small towns like Hysham and Terry, Montana.
I've lived in them. Yeah.
To be able to have a local branch and have a local relationship inside your small community, I think speaks wonders. You know, Stockman Bank is there for the community. I don't know if you can walk past a ball field in the state of Montana and not see Stockman Bank as a sponsor. And so, you know, building those community relationships, building those relationships with their individual borrowers is what Stockman Bank built themselves on and will continue to do.
What does the future hold for you, Greg?
That's a good question. I'm headed to Kalispell today. So for the Real Montana Ag Resource Leadership.
Oh, nice. Program. You're in that program?
Absolutely.
Oh, talk about that. You know, we talk about it here, but tell me why you're in Real Montana.
The main reason why I want to be in Real Montana is just to be a voice for agriculture. You know, if you don't have a seat at the table, then you're on the menu. And I believe that, you know, we as resource, you know, advocates need to be able to talk and discuss what's going on, so that we can tell people the truth and what really is going on, and not listen to outside voices that aren't really involved in the industries.
And that's kind of an issue at times, isn't it? But we live in the Big Sky country, so we learn to deal with that.
Yeah. But, and that's why events like this are so good, is that we can bring people together and see exactly, you know, what a farmer does, or what, you know, what some agro-related business is doing to help the industry that's still the largest in Montana. And, you know, yeah, we are in Montana, but, you know, I guarantee there's still people over in Billings that, you know, don't know what a sugar beet is. They just know it smells.
Yeah, and that's why we're here. Greg Gable, thank you so much for being a farmer out there. Alex Shimke from Stockman Bank, thank you for supporting the farmers as well. Thank you for being on Voices of Montana. Welcome back here again live from the Town and Country Supply Association fertilizer plant in Lockwood, Montana. Huge plant, and I understand they spent a little time cleaning the place up for us last night. Jennifer, thank you so much for that. Big shout out again to Town and Country Supply Association. Live for the Farmers, our third year running here too. Had a great time up in Havre. We're now visiting Stillwater County and Yellowstone County. We've got four farm visits, Pop's Farm, the Davies Farm. We'll be out at the Crafts Farm a bit later on, as Governor Greg Gianforte will join the For the Farmers tour and have a nice round table and a one-on-one with Coulter. So you guys will be looking forward to coverage of that on the Northern Ag Network. But welcome back here to Voices of Montana. Two decades strong and working on three. Tom Schultz alongside. And with Holly Stoltz and Trent Stoltz, who are producers in the area, but a family that has coalesced. And good morning, Holly. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
And Trent, you?
Doing well.
Good. Coalesced around this industry, around agriculture, around rural values as well. There's a lot to talk about here. But let's start, Holly, with you. Why? What does farming and ranching mean to a family?
Well, it's pretty much all I've ever known. I was born and raised on a ranch and a dairy in the Paradise Valley, and then met my husband and moved to the family ranch up in Valier. And so it's pretty much been in my blood since I was born, so I don't know any other way to be, but ranching and family values go really hand in hand. You know, we have a fifth generation coming back to the place, and, you know, it's just our way of life.
And the fifth generation is Austin, right?
Yes.
Your son. Trent, what does that mean to you when you can interest your offspring, so to speak, into doing what Dad and Mom did?
It's one of the greatest things there is, and sometimes it's one of the most frustrating things there is to work with. I'm sure for him too. But it's pretty cool to get to see your son every single day. You know, even if he's not a morning person, we do pretty well together, and we. Just, it's great.
You've had to probably learn a little bit along that way, too, right?
Oh, yeah.
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 Yeah. You're not going to make any of the mistakes your father made, so you make all new ones.
Holly looks at Trent Shanks. Yes, you do. Yeah, you do. But that's part of life, though, too, right? This is what I like about the farming community,
yeah.
Is that you're living life in a large way all together. Holly, what did it mean to you to have Austin? And you guys have other family members, too. Another son, Cameron, right?
Yep.
A couple of daughters.
We have one daughter, Jordan, and a younger son, Cameron.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What did it mean to you as a mother?
Oh, I mean, it's awesome because, you know, they always say you lose your boys because they get married and move off and, you know, they do a lot with the wife's family. But in a farm and ranch arena, you kind of get to keep your boys, well, and your daughters if they come back. But, I mean, it's just really nice having them close, having them near, and being able to, you know, eventually be around for our grandchildren, right?
Yeah. Couple things I want to get to. One, Trent, is that you're a board member for the Montana Farmers Union.
Correct.
Go ahead and talk about what that means to you, but to everybody else as well, what Farmers Union does, and you were talking about all the support that they're giving you in different areas.
Yeah, well, I think when you talk family values and local support and support of communities, Farmers Union's second to none. Don't quote me exactly on these numbers, but I believe 50,000 in grants this year, 36,000 in scholarships to kids going to college, 10,000 to 4-H. We have a one-sentence grant, write a little one sentence. We send you $100. Thank us somewhere where it can be seen. You get another, I think it's 50 or 100. We give $2,500 to any FFA group that wants to start up in any school in the state. I think we're at 30,000 and counting on that deal. So, yeah, I think when it comes to that kind of stuff, Farmers Union's kind of putting their money where their mouth is.
And Holly, there's a couple of things that you do. One I noticed is this tallow skincare that you developed. I think you should talk about that. I mean, because I think a lot of farming families, it's not just farming anymore, right? You have other interests, and you get to explore those. Some days you're working nonstop on the farm. Other days you can do this. Talk about Sego Lily.
So that came about because of a personal journey. With, you know, aging, because we're all going to age eventually. And so I found tallow on the internet and started using it. But what I found is I just didn't like the consistency and the smell. And so I started to make my own. And we're empty nesters, so it kind of became my you know, fourth child, I guess. And so I started that over a little over a year ago, and it's going awesome. I'm in four airports in Montana and two in Colorado and several retail stores.
Oh, wow.
So it is, it's growing quickly.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
How do you make it? That's a secret?
That's a secret.
Okay, all right.
I'd have to kill you if
does,
I told you.
Does Trent know? He's still alive here, so he's still, maybe he doesn't. He must not.
I try and stay out of her mad science laboratory as much as possible.
That's probably a good idea.
Yeah.
Holly Stoltz and Trent Stoltz with us again. Producers from the Pompey's area, Pompey's Pillar area, and started off in Valier, you know, in the Golden Triangle. So really cool about that. What do you guys, regenerative farming, virtual fencing? Trent, you guys are into some of these new things. Talk about them.
Yeah. Well, we started out into regenerative ag, trying to fence, and we found that was our weak point, time-wise and probably desire-wise. Working with the World Wildlife Fund, they do a lot of help at different ranchers around the state. We tried virtual fence, and it worked great. We had 300 yearlings, and they had collars on, and we were able to lock them in tighter areas, get herd impact. We were able to graze areas we had never grazed. We've only been here 2 or 3 years when we did it.
Yeah.
But we were able to graze those areas.
We
haven't done it the last year. It was a lot. The technology wasn't quite there yet.
But yeah.
Now that they've got solar packs running on the animals, there's a company called Halter. Got solar panels on them, so you don't have to be changing out the batteries. It's something we're starting into again.
What does virtual fencing do in terms of improve your efficiency?
Well, we're terrible at electric fencing. It's you know, saves us a couple hours in the morning and then a couple hours in the afternoon when they're out and a couple hours in the evening when they're out and then we saves us the next morning again. So, I mean, we have a lot of irons in the fire and we're just never going to be efficient at electric fencing. So
I get that, right? And
yeah.
Is the expense about even?
No, it's more expensive, but like one of our ranches is south of Hysham,
yeah,
and that's just too far to go from Pompey's Pillar. So with the virtual fence, you can control your grazing that way from a distance.
And like you said, you had 300 yearlings,
yep,
in that first iteration there. What did you learn?
Well, we learned a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if you can go that in depth. We just learned that we can graze a lot better with them, that there were still some glitches in the technology, and there were still some human mistakes that you can make that'll mess you up pretty good for a day or two, and then you get her straightened out and working again.
Well, and I'm just going to add, as far as like the virtual fence and what it's done to our operation is we have about five different...
Yeah, that's right. We are at a fertilizer plant. There's Burlington Northern, and we love those guys, too. My dad worked for those guys for years and years, as a matter of fact. So there you go. Train on through. Oh, my God, they're coming this way! Just kidding. Go ahead.
Okay, so I'll talk louder. So the one thing that I think virtual fence has done for us is we have five enterprises and only two employees, you know, Trenton and Austin. And so what virtual fence allowed us to do was basically have another employee. And, you know, the virtual fence was who was moving our fence and moving our cattle, improving our grasslands. And what virtual fence allowed us to do, too, was actually rest pastures that hadn't been rested for, you know, 20-some years.
Great.
And, you know, all native pastures need rest. And that's one of the key points into improving your grasses and your grazing capability.
The hay hotline. Are you taking it over?
Yes, we are.
Give us a shout-out about that. I got 1 minute here.
Okay, well, 1 minute. So the nonprofit I work for took over the hay hotline from the state. They decided to cancel that program a few years ago, and we felt like it was super needed. And so we brought it back onto a platform called the Mountain West Grazing Connection. And you can sell hay, you can look for lease ground, you can look for cattle that you want to bring in on your own ground. And then, of course, we will work with the state agencies during a disaster and help with the correspondence and getting those ranchers the things that they need.
I think it is needed. I think it is. And thank you for doing that.
You bet.
And thank you guys for being a part of a community that means so much to everybody in the state. Trent Stoltz, Holly Stoltz, good job.
Thank you.
Yep. From thank you, guys. Let's give these guys a hand, too, okay? Producers. Real producers. I'm going to go from family farms to family businesses. Colton Young.
Family business. It's the theme for today and producers. And we are here with probably the highlight of the tour, the folks that are the beverage sponsors that get to enjoy and kick it back with us later this evening. We're here with Hannah Tagliaferro. Big last name. I think I got it. With Watkins Distribution. And for a lot of people that don't maybe understand, why don't you share your role with Watkins and tell us what Watkins truly does in this area?
Yeah, so I'm one of the owners and CFO of Watkins Distributing. We're a fourth-generation family-owned and operated beverage distribution company here in Montana and Idaho. So our largest supplier is Anheuser-Busch, who we also have here today, which is really exciting. And we sell anything from beer, wine, non-alcoholics to really anywhere who buys and sells alcohol. So cover a lot of territory. Out of our Billings operation, we cover all of eastern and south central Montana. And then we also have a distribution company up in, or warehouse in northwestern Montana and Kalispell.
Awesome. Yeah, and the family operation, I think, it's such a cool story, and you talk about a lot of the Montana producers and the people we've had on the show today, Tom, and that's kind of the theme. You have these people that have been around for generations after generations that continue giving back to the farms and ranches, and fourth generation continue giving back, a big sponsor of the For the Farmers Tour. What does it mean for you to be able to be a part of this day and to help sponsor and thank the farmers?
Yeah, I mean, it's so exciting. This is the third year we've been a part of it. And without the farmers, there's no beer. And so to be out here and to really touch and feel and meet the farmers who are growing all of those ingredients for us is really exciting, and to just give back. Obviously, you know, Montana Made is so important, and our products are all, you know, that comes right from here in our own backyard, which is really, really exciting.
And Annie, you're a part of this trip too and a part of Watkins. Tell us what this means for you to be able to be out here and thank the farmers and just to represent Watkins in the best way possible as a family operation.
Yeah, I think seeing, you know, the farmers and you know, seeing their multiple generation families. I'm here with my cousin Hannah, and it's really special when, you know, it's not only your coworkers, but it's your family. There's pros and cons to it, you know. You argue about business during the day and you go home and have dinner together at night, but you know, we're lucky that we enjoy working together and it works for us.
How big a family operation is this? I mean, how many family members are involved in it?
Yeah, so there's four of us. So it's myself, Annie, her brother, and her father, who make up the ownership group.
So we've got, you know, the third generation, my dad's the CEO, and then us is the fourth generation. Still a lot to learn from him, but he's really given us the reins to start making our own decisions and start leading the company.
What is different then from when your parents ran the company to where you guys need to take the company, Watkins Distributing?
Yeah. You know, we've expanded a ton in the last just 3.5 years.
That's an understatement probably, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So
more than a ton.
Yeah, about three acquisitions since 2021, which has really been led by, you know, kind of Annie and I and our cousin Connor. And to Annie's point, Mitch has really given us the reins, and, you know, day-to-day operations are kind of now being run by us. And so it's a whole new set of challenges from when they were, you know, running the business. But it's an exciting time to be in the industry, and with new challenges come, you know, new exciting opportunities.
I think one of the biggest changes, too, is the product mix. You know, 20 years ago, you would drop 30 cases of Budweiser, 30 cases of Bud Light, you're done with your stop. Now we have thousands of products, hundreds of suppliers, you know, tons of SKUs or different products we sell. So I think the product mix has really changed the last 30 years. I
appreciate you guys sponsoring this. What are you going to take away from this trip today, do you think? What do you want to, when you speak to a farmer, Annie or Hannah, what do you want to hear from them?
You know, I think, you know, our ultimate, you know, message is to the consumer, and that is choose beer grown here. We want people to choose beer that's made in America, and, you know, the products come from Montana, and ultimately we want the consumer to choose beer grown here.
I've known your business for a long time, living in Missoula and working in sports, and you guys have all the people, everybody you have for you have been really, really good to work with and just grounded like you guys are, too, so congratulations on that.
Thank you so much.
Hannah
Tagliaferro and Annie.
Did they mention that they got the Bush guy with them today?
Yes, we do.
Mel, who's the Bush guy?
We got the Bush guy.
From the Super Bowl commercials.
Yes.
The Bush.
I was just going to say that. Jerry is here, and he'll be traveling with us to all these events. So we'll pick up on that in just a little bit. Thank you guys for doing
that.
Thank
you so much. Thank
you. And for bringing the Bush Gang, too. That's going to be so much fun. That was Andy Schwab.
Hi.
With Heather McDowell from Sibanye-Stillwater.
Yeah, Heather, appreciate you being here today. I know we just got a little bit of short time here, but I just want to talk, you know, of course, Sibanye-Stillwater, you guys are right there in the heart of the community of the farming agriculture world. And today we're going to be kind of going to the back door of your guys' area, too, Stillwater, to just say thank you to the farmers. What does that mean for Sibanye-Stillwater?
It's great to be here, Andy. Thanks so much. So we at Sibanye-Stillwater are operating the only platinum and palladium mines in the country. And we're doing it in what we think is the most pristine ag lands really in the world. So the agricultural that happens in our neck of the woods, we're just at the headwaters of some really great farms and ranches. And we don't take that lightly. We really see being a neighbor as a verb where we are. We are really proud to be integrated with our communities, to really focus on how can we get it right for our ag folks. As I think everyone knows, we've had a really tough year. The palladium market has been very bad. I never thought I'd say I'd wish I'd be raising cattle instead of palladium, but certainly we're in a tough spot in the palladium market, which is rebounding a little bit. But we've survived the last 40 years, and especially tough years like the last year, because of our neighbors. And so many of those neighbors are in agriculture. And so many of our employees have an agricultural connection. I think we're really proud that a lot of our employees are able to really use our jobs and use the benefits that come with working for Sibanye-Stillwater to really keep their farm and ranch going when ag times are tough. And we really see so much synergy between what we're doing in mining and recycling platinum and palladium and our ag communities. And frankly, we couldn't do it without them. We couldn't do it without community support. And we really want to make sure that we know, even in our tough times, we're there for our farmers and ranchers. And we're really grateful that they've been there for us.
Well, we do appreciate what you do, too. And with that good farming agreement, the good neighbor agreement, I've got farming on my mind all day today, since we're going to be saying thanks to the farmers, Tom Schultz.
Yeah, and you grew up on a farm, too, didn't you?
Yeah, I grew up on a ranch in Carbon County. Yeah. And so, again, it just is so nice to be able to see everyone come here today. This fertilizer plant is amazing.
It is, isn't it?
I feel like I thought we were doing something cool, you know, mining platinum and palladium, but that's before I saw fertilizer be produced. So, thanks for having us here. We're proud.
Heather, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Just a quick shout out again to Town and Country Fertilizer Plant here, but the Town and Country Supply Association for all the work that they put into here, for everybody who showed up, for all the farmers.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.